Hello friends, we are beginning with Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 32A in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 154. And we have completed our work, at least temporarily, on the path of the solar logoi, or the path which the logos himself is on, not only the path toward becoming a solar logos, but the path of the solar logos leading to some amazing consummations of the triple sun in a simultaneous expression in the seventh solar system in the eternal now. Not just a sequential solar system, but one that is simultaneously gathering all of the qualities which have been expressed through the previous not only three major solar systems, but assumingly through the previous six. Now we are on the last of the paths, which is given. We're pretty well finding that on these last two paths, what has been given in initiation human and solar is transported into the treatise on cosmic fire. This is the path of absolute sonship. When it says absolute, it sounds very high, although, you know, probably not related to the absolute per se. This sonship is a correspondence on the highest plane to that grade of discipleship we call Son of the Master. Son of the Master, or is this given in the six stages of discipleship? Okay. Of discipleship. Maybe not. And I think I'm going to have to six stages of discipleship. Okay, we'll make it this way. Six stages. As I am recalling, we have the little chelaship, we have the chela in the light, we have accepted discipleship, we have the chela on the thread, that would be four, we have chela within the aura, we have chela in the heart, and the blending of the lights. So is this given in the six stages of discipleship? I can see I have to spell that word correctly. Okay. Six stages of discipleship. Maybe this will be better, and hopefully I've spelled it correctly this time. I'm not sure. Six stages of discipleship. Oh, I am not doing too well right now. Okay, so is this given in the six stages of discipleship? And I think not. Maybe no. Unless we have this stage in the last or seventh stage, the blending of the lights. It is the sonship to a being higher than our logos, of whom we may not speak. Well, is this the one about whom not may be said? Or is it another whom we may not reference in this context, such as perhaps Sirius or the Cosmic Logos? It is the great controlling path of karma. The seventh path associated numerologically with the seventh sign Libra and with the with Saturn as the Lord of Karma, and also Lord of Karma, Karma, and also the planet which rules the seventh plane. Numerologically, let's see how we look at that. Numerologically. Okay. So, sonship to being higher than our logos. It could be Sirius, after all, of whom we may not speak, at least in this context, perhaps. It is the great controlling path of karma. The Lipika lords are on this path, and so, again, it must go on for a long time, as these are very high beings and would require many Mahamanvantaras to, as it were, create. And all who are fitted for this line of work and who are close to the Logos in a personal, intimate sense pass on to the path of absolute sonship. So we don't know what this means about being close to the Logos in a personal, intimate sense. One thinks of the three persons of the Logoic Trinity. One thinks of that. It is the path of the special intimates of the Logos. And this, of course, we mean the solar logos. Are there other solar logoi who are what's called here special intimates of the logos? And into their hands he has put the working out of karma in the solar system, so they work in relation to the solar system. But let us not forget that later all of these cosmic paths, cosmic paths, you see, cosmic paths lead to different constellations within the one about whom. They know his wishes, his will, and his aim. Now one thinks of the four Maharajas. And of the Lipika, who are found in this solar system. So seven great karmic lords, having a strong karmic effectiveness in our solar system. Higher than the planetary logoi. They know his wishes, his will, and his aim, and to them he entrusts the carrying out of his behests. This group associated with the logos forms a special group linked to a still higher logos, so this has to be possibly Sirius, or the cosmic logos, or the one about whom. But that this latter may be stretching it a bit. Well, here we are in cosmic fire, and basically the same thing. The sonship is a correspondence on the highest plane to that greater discipleship which we call Son of the Master. It may be related to the linking of the lights. It is the sonship to a being higher than our Logos, of whom we may not speak. Of course, speak authoritatively, that is. If we simply speculate, we are speculating. But we could be dealing either with a solar Logos, a constellational Logos, or a super-constellational Logos. It is also the great controlling path of karma, interesting that it should be so high. Libra and Saturn necessarily involved. The Lupika lords in our solar system and perhaps those on Sirius are on this path, and all who are fitted for that line of work and who are close to the Logos in a personal and intimate sense. So pass on to the seventh path. Well, they would have to be, I suppose, very high beings when they pass onto this path. Very high. So we're talking about those who could be within the range of the of possible intimacy with the Logos. What does it take to be intimate with anybody? You have to know them. So these beings must know the solar Logos. So it is the path of the special intimates of the Logos. And into their hands he has put the working out of karma in the solar system. They know his wishes, his will, and his aim, and to them he entrusts the carrying out of his behests. Apparently, at this point, they are lesser beings than the Logos. This group associated with the Logos forms a special group linked to a still higher Logos, and we speculated what could that be. I mean, on Sirius, we understand that on Sirius, there is a law of karma, which is especially effective in our solar system. And so, from this perspective, it may be, no, this won't work. From this perspective, it may be possible for those on the path to Sirius to eventually pass onto this far greater path. And especially if Sirius is the greater Logos of which we may not speak. These two paths enter into cosmic states of consciousness as inconceivable to man as the consciousness of the ego of a human being is to the atom of substance. This is an incredible comparison. this was not included in the other. It is unnecessary and profitless, therefore, to enlarge further upon these exalted states. And, you know, when it comes to path 8 and path 9, the exalted states must be even higher, I suppose. Okay. Oh, my. I feel like reading it again. These two paths, so there's a summary here. The path of the solar logoi and the path of absolute sonship enter into cosmic states of consciousness as inconceivable to man as the consciousness of the ego of a human being is to an atom of substance. So, you know, the consciousness of the atom is four or five kingdoms removed from the consciousness of the ego. The consciousness of the atom of substance is four or five kingdom removes from the consciousness of the ego on the higher mental plane or on the cosmic etheric planes. The true ego, the true triad, the true ego is the triad. True ego is the spiritual triad, we have been told. Right. So if you think about what an atom of substance knows in its complete unconsciousness, and what an ego knows, then try to think about man in relation to a vast cosmic expanse. You wonder, one wonders whether each of the seven paths does not lead eventually, well, one wonders whether when thinking of the seven cosmic paths, whether the highest cosmic planes are not involved in their expression. In this case, the logoic, well, let's call it cosmic logoic plane. The previous path may have involved the cosmic monadic plane, although it led, you know, at first to cosmic buddhi, but whatever goes to cosmic buddhi can easily go to the cosmic monad. And the I'm of the impression that the ray path and even the path of the planetary logo may lead to the cosmic astral, atmic plane. Where a path leads at first is no assurance of where it can lead next. The cosmic atmic plane is resonant with the cosmic mental plane. The cosmic monadic plane is resonant with the cosmic buddhic plane. And of course, the cosmic logoic plane, which are just words to us, must necessarily be analogically resonant to the cosmic atmic plane and to the cosmic monadic, to the cosmic mental as well. So this is the great analogy. Enter into cosmic states of consciousness as inconceivable to man as the consciousness of the ego of a human being is to an atom of substance. So the we have a contrast here between deep unconsciousness and what we might call group consciousness. So the contrast exists between the deep unconsciousness of the atom of substance and the group consciousness of the ego on the higher mental plane. We also have the great super consciousness or universal consciousness of those upon the cosmic monadic plane and cosmic logoic plane. Cosmic logoic plane. Okay, well now we do come to maybe something more here, which is given in the Rays and the Initiations, page 422. As I've previously pointed out, not much can be given out concerning this mysterious path which leads into a triangle formed of three lines of energy of differing and greatly vibratory effectiveness. Well, let's put it like this. If connected to a triangle, then connected to a third ray. The triangle, there is a correspondence here to the atmic plane and the, I think, cosmic atmic plane is involved in this state of consciousness being, though perhaps also the first subplane of the cosmic physical plane. This triangle is in the nature of an open door presenting unique and unprecedented opportunity to those who discover this path. And notice the word discover. It sounds as if some definite search has to be made. So we'll make that a little bigger and this a little smaller. As if some definite search has to be made. Just as one of the seven paths produced ultimately relation to the Pleiades and well, you know, it's my impression that this is the path of the solar logoi. So this path relates our system to the constellation of the Great Bear, and here it is definitely stated. In a way, I wonder if it's a great masculine path, inasmuch as the Great Bear is the, in the words of Stephen Pugh, the cosmic Manu. You kind of wonder then what are the an analogy to the globes on that high level. They have to be much larger beings. Well, the analogies will continue. They will continue to expand as we lift our sights. But we had this, I think in the very last idea, that the Pleiades were the goal of those upon the path of the solar logoi. In a certain sense, the Pleiades may be the final goal for everyone, but maybe a direct goal for those on the path of the solar logoi. If I do this, we'll see what happens. Pleiades. Aha, okay, and here it is. This is the one I was looking for. When we talk about the pupil of the eye, we are speaking here of the path of the solar logoi. Gradually, by dint of hard effort, certain masters have qualified themselves or are qualifying themselves to take the place of the original members of the group, which formed the pupil of the eye of the solar logos, permitting of their return to a cosmic center of which our system and the greater, around which our system and the greater system of Sirius revolve. We have these particular lives who are on this path, and it seems that it is the Pleiades, after all. Okay. Well, most of what I've written here is about, is my own writing and not DK's writing. So there is a return of the kinds of lives on this path of the Sola Logoi who produce the pupil of the eye of the Sola Logos, a return to the Pleiades. Well, one hint here, anyway, is that the path of the Sola Logoi leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane. And the Pleiades radiate cosmic Buddhi. So we begin to think that the Sola Logoi and the Pleiades are very Devic. They are the great mothers. The Pleiades are the great mothers in a way, and they sponsor those lives who are related to the Deva kingdom, to the third aspect of divinity. They have a connection with Pleiades and Cancer, and Venus, or Pleiades and Virgo, actually, another very Devic sign. So this path relates to our solar system to the constellation of the Great Bear, and the other. Now, if we examine TCF 1162, we will see how much the Pleiades are related to the expression of cosmic Buddhi. So this path relates our solar system to the constellation of the Great Bear. That's the path of absolute sonship. When we deal with the bears, we have the father and the son. But in this case, the Great Bear may be very much the son instead of the father, because it's a sonship to what? To something considered the absolute in a relative sense. Okay, so we have sonship to that which may be considered absolute in a relative sense. Okay. Well, I may have to do a little repeating here, because I may have left the record button off here. I hope not. This triangle is in the nature of an open door, presenting unique and unprecedented opportunity to those who discover this path. So there's something about it, even though those upon the path of magnetic work go there, but we say something about this path is not obvious. Okay. And just as one of the paths produces ultimately relationship to the Pleiades, so this path relates our solar system to the constellation of the Great Bear. So, you know, we have to ask, are there karmic factors emanating from the Great Bear? You see, the our solar logos is on the path of that leads, I think, to the Pleiades, because its path leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane, and the Pleiades, page 1162, one of my favorite pages in Cosmic Fire, shows the great second ray power of the Pleiades as the dispenser of cosmic Buddhi. So, I think that this path will lead to the cosmic atmic plane, although it is not stated as such, and maybe to the cosmic logoic plane. This path, path of absolute sonship, leads, I think, to the cosmic atmic plane, because the Great Bear is definitely associated with this plane, at least in my view. And I've stated how this is so at various times in these teachings. It is connected with the head centers and spiritual will. So the Great Bear is connected with the spiritual will of the one about whom, and also with the seven head centers, wherever in the region of the head they can be found. So on 1162, on TCF 1162, we have a statement about the plane on which the Great Bear, the stars, can be found. And it does not seem like the cosmic Buddhic plane. Cosmic Buddhic plane. It seems like cosmic Atma. And I have, or the cosmic Atmic plane. And I'd like to be able to trace my discussion of this back a little ways, but I'm not yet, I'm not able to go there directly. Let's see if I can find that. Well, fortunately, I was careful enough to put this in the AAB extracts, and it says basically here that his activities will then be concerned with the relation of the energies of the Great Bear to the Pleiades and their dual relationship, a higher correspondence to Atma Buddhi. So there is the big hint to be considered in relation to Cosmic Fire 1163 and TCF 344. Maybe I should have said 1162, I think. This comes from the Rays and the Initiations, page 405. Okay. Now, so the Great Bear is Atmic. And if this goes to the Great Bear, well, I'll put it this way. If this path leads to the Great Bear, then it definitely leads to the cosmic atmic plane, and later perhaps to the cosmic monadic plane. You have therefore the following triangle composed of one stream of energy emanating from the Great Bear, another stream of energy issuing from the heart of the sun or from our solar locus, and the base line consisting of the energy which comes from our seven sacred planets. And if we were to look on Esoteric Astrology, page 460, at the archetypal triangle of circulation, we would see the Great Bear as the emanating point, the solar logos or heart of sun as the, what do they call it, evocative point? I'll check that. And the seven sacred planets as the magnetic point. So let me take a quick look here. And this will be in Esoteric Astrology, page 460. Sometimes, you know, you just have to remember the page numbers. Emanating energy, evocative force, magnetic center. So let's call it as it is. Emanating energy, evocative force, and the seven sacred planets as the magnetic center. So this is the triangle that we would be dealing with. We have a first aspect, second aspect, and third aspect. And the Great Bear, it seems that this is the Great Bear as a whole. It seems that this is the Great Bear as a whole and not just one of the stars, although one or more of the stars is especially effective with our solar logos, and also all of them with our seven sacred planets. The potency and the effectiveness of this triangle is therefore unique and apparent. Yeah, well, it certainly is going to influence the seven spirits before the throne, is it not? And each of these spirits is becoming some kind of karmic agency. It produces relation between our system, our planets, and the universe, considered in a circumscribed sense. Because certainly the Great Bear is not the universe, but it is, at least in our local cosmos system. Okay, local cosmos system. CLS, Cosmic Logoi, and Local Cosmo System. That'll be a good one, right? Because we oftentimes use that. Local Cosmo System. And LCS, I've already got it. All right. This open triangle represents, I mean, open to what? Would we say open to the great beyond, perhaps? Presents opportunity to those lives who, from the other side of the triangle, to that presented to our solar system and its contents, seek to help our solar system and to bring the non-sacred planets to the point of liberation, which is their particular goal. So, from beyond this triangle, our lives who attempt to raise all within our solar system, the solar logos and the planetary logoi. So to bring the non-sacred planets, seek to help our solar system and bring the non-sacred planets to the point of liberation, which is their particular goal. Notice here that it is the non-sacred planets, and hence the karma, which, when enforced, will speed the non-sacred planets on their way and elevate them. So the law of karma is a law of elevation. This is the open triangle presents opportunity to those lives from the other side of the triangle to that side presented to our solar system and its contents. Seek to help our solar system and bring the non-sacred planets to the point of liberation, which is, I would say, the fourth cosmic initiation. Well, fourth cosmic initiation. Okay, I'm going to FRCSI, and I think we need that right there. Point of liberation. The fourth initiation is always that. Fourth cosmic initiation. And there would be also, I'm sure, a fifth cosmic initiation. Let's see if we have something. Well, let's try it. Fifth cosmic initiation of a, of a greater kind, I suppose. Because it's, Our solar system has to achieve the fourth degree to achieve liberation. Our solar system being a non-sacred solar system, right? Being a non-sacred solar system must achieve the fourth cosmic initiation in order to be considered sacred. And maybe even the fifth. Liberated, well, I guess it depends on what sacred means. You know, Sirius may well be a sacred solar system. We're not sure, but probably it has achieved the fourth, the third cosmic initiation. So maybe we're not told what makes a sacred solar logos. We are told that a fifth initiation makes a sacred planetary logos, but it seems of a lesser kind. A fifth initiation makes a sacred planetary logos. Is this the same for our solar logos, or will the third initiation of a cosmic kind do? And brings the non-sacred planets to the point of liberation, the fourth degree, of a minor kind, perhaps. And what about the sacred planets? Presumably the sacred planets have already taken this type of fourth initiation. Sacred planets have already taken this type of initiation. Okay, let's see what else we have here. He is giving us quite a bit of information here that is really very cautiously conserved in the first, in Initiation Human and Solar, and even in A Treatise of Cosmic Fire. Through this triangular door, all the great avatars enter our system and find the point where they can serve, and I've got to say that given the karmic association, let's see if KC will do it. KC, and maybe not, but let's try it. Some words are used so often. Given the karmic association, the cosmic avatars can find entrance here. And we have to think about an avatar from Sirius, who apparently came to our system once and assisted with the individualization process, whether I suppose on our planet, other planets. I mean, the different planets have their individualization at different times. The inflow of extra solar energy is what produces the seven cosmic paths. It has to come from solar logoi and from constellational logoi, who are extra systemic. So maybe parts of these, you know, just as there is training going on in relation to the to certain of the planets in our solar system in relation to these paths. So training for certain paths goes on in certain planets. Maybe training for certain paths also goes on within the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, on in relation to certain solar logoi. And then further training goes on in relation to the chakras of the one about whom naught may be said. So as far as training goes, it may be pursued on Earth, on other planets, on other suns, especially in the solar system, in the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, and also within certain constellations, which are the chakras of the one about whom. I mean, you begin to feel like an atom compared to an ego. It's just, you know, we just don't fathom these things. Here we are, a tiny, unresponsive lower form of life, even related to the previous solar system. And then there is this wonderful, egoic, unitive group consciousness touching many aspects of the planet. Well, as a man, when compared to some of these higher beings, that's what we are, but it's so far beyond the pale that we cannot appreciate this. So the inflow of extrasolar energy is what produces the seven cosmic paths. There is no such grouping as the seven solar paths. In most cases, the paths lead away from our solar system altogether, and I think he means the cosmic paths. The solar paths are what we might call ray paths. Not necessarily the ray path, but ray paths. They are paths pursued along ashramic lines. So if we're on the path of the teacher or the path of the leader or the path of the creator or the artist or the scientist, these are ray paths, and they're going on within the solar system. And sometimes he talks about that, but he's trying to show the difference here. The cosmic paths are not ray paths. I wonder if we can see, for instance, that there might be something called ray paths. Well, there are, let me put on a... Oh, is this... right. Well, what does it say here? Though the seven paths being one of the septenates are necessarily related to the seven rays, they are not ray paths, nor are they governed by the seven rays. Well, we're talking about the cosmic paths, and we're told that they are not ray paths. So if we're told that they are not ray paths, there must be those which are ray paths. Okay, so there must be ray paths. Now, I wonder if we use the word ray path, will we immediately come into path number 5? Looks like we might. The ray path, well, there it is. Fifth path, the ray path. From off his particular ray path. So, okay, here it is. In the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, we have 1249. Okay, so this is the demonstration that there are ray paths. And let's see, what page did I say this was on? 1249 of Cosmic Fire. TCF 1249. So, we will make this green and smaller, which of course is plenty big, really. Okay. So there are ray paths, and let's see if there's anything further here. The ray path. This ray path is one upon the masters go. Adepts who pass upon the ray path. Ray path here. The fifth ray path. The ray path. The ray path. The ray path. The ray path. Okay. He passes on to the fifth ray path, and so forth. But we are interested in ray paths, so let's take a look again. And there's only one But we did look at this one in Cosmic Fire, and it says, to this particular Ray Pap. Okay. Now, did we actually, what was the previous hunt? Ray Path, there we go, Ray Path. And we were able to find one that was definitely, so it seemed, and here we go, prior to the fifth initiation and who has frequently also been upon the fourth Ray Path. Okay, so we're talking about the, I believe, the Path of Magnetic Work, and it's 1247. Okay. TCF 1247. So, leading up to the choice, there is a fourth Ray Path. There's also a second Ray Path. So, we cannot say there are not Ray Paths. All we can say is that these seven paths are not Ray paths. Sometimes they are so necessarily inclusive of all the seven rays that they cannot be a distinct Ray path. Okay. Well, the seven solar paths. Well, we don't call it that, but we call them the Ray paths. We call them that. We have the what's called seven Ray paths. Okay. Now going on. If you will study the more abstruse teaching, more veiled and more symbolic than this, you will find certain statements which to the esotericist will throw much light on the simpler presentations of in this treatise on the seven rays. So, okay, it is simpler because only those points are given which carry in them the germ of possible enlightenment to the general public. Now, that is not the case when we're dealing with some of these higher books, The Rays and the Initiations and A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. A treatise on cosmic fire is not written for the general public. It is strictly a presentation of truth for the initiated disciple. And maybe that's why there is not widespread appeal to this book, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. It is strictly a presentation of truth for the initiated disciple. Its line is strictly a first ray and third ray presentation, whilst this treatise is strictly a second ray approach. So he maybe felt a sigh of relief when he was able to get into the treatise on the seven rays after a treatise on cosmic fire. Of course, DK has, I believe, very strong third ray, and he says he has a first ray in his triad, a first ray in the spiritual triad. Okay. So let's keep this bracket, and we'll go on. Among the changes, okay, this is a statement warranting careful thought and one that has not yet received no recognition. Well, the books on the seven rays, the treatise on the seven rays. On the seven rays. Connect with subjectivity. Okay. We go on to say that among the changes necessitated by the abnormally rapid development of mankind, and we can say, and this lately, not before, with its consequent stepping up of the qualities of disciples, is the fact that no longer does the master, faced at the sixth initiation with the stupendous decision to make, enter upon the indicated path entirely blindly as hitherto? So something is known, known and revealed. And, you know, this stupendous decision, it has such far-reaching consequences and will determine direction for many Mahamanmataras in some cases. When we deal with the higher paths, when we deal with the path of the planetary logoi, the ray path, the path of the solar logoi, and I think the path of absolute sonship, we're dealing with a very long commitment. I'm not sure about the path to Sirius, but no, that's not right. Let's just say a very long commitment is involved when dealing with the higher cosmic paths. He is now given a revelation of the true united goal of the seven paths, like what lies at the end of their treading. End of their treading. And likewise, a vision of their varying intermediate individual goals. So, what are the stations along the way? Hence, the name of the fifth initiation is that of the initiation of revelation. This is so important, and this revelation looks like it comes. This revelation of the seven cosmic paths, SV. All right, we're going to have to look that one up because it's so important. SV, seven cosmic paths. So that really tells us something important. So let's call this that revelation of the seven cosmic paths, SVCSPS. Oh, certainly it's there, isn't it? So this revelation of the seven cosmic paths occurs at the fifth degree. Let's just do it this fifth initiation. He can thus make his decision with open eyes and unblinded by the glory, as I suppose the glory is universally attractive on all paths. So this is interesting about the initiation of revelation, so very important. He is now given a revelation of the true united goal of the seven paths, and likewise a vision of their varying intermediate individual goals. In other words, there are intermediate goals, and a path with a distant destination may have a number of stops along. Oh, that's no good. I'm going to have to get rid of that. STOPS, and we'll just let it be. STOPS. And we'll delete that. And second tier petals, and OK, delete. So STOPS stops along the way. And we can put in here second tier of petals that way instead of P. Second tier of petals that way. Okay. So, you know, when we are on the way, let us say, to becoming array or solar logos. One of the stops may be along the way to the path of the planetary logoi, then to the ray path, and then, now more directly, to the path of the solar logoi. There are stops and intermediate places along the way. He can thus make his decision with open eyes, unblinded by the glory. So maybe can what you call see through the usually blinding glory. All right. One point requires elucidation here. The whole standard of the mental equipment of entering disciples is so much higher than it used to be. All right. So we're talking also, remember, you know, this path leads to the cosmic mental plane, and thence we have proven, I think, to the cosmic atmic plane. Owing to the mental and intuitive development of man, that this fact has forced corresponding changes in the hierarchy itself. The masters who are now moving forward onto the path of high revolution are equally of much greater unfoldment. So there's a constant adaptation. There's a constant adaptation when dealing with when dealing with. I'm going to put that in. Okay, when dealing with, add that. A constant adaptation when dealing with all matters concerning progress in cosmos. The will aspect is present to a greater degree, little as you may realize it, and this is a new factor conditioning much. You know, in every decision, the will is present. We're not talking about those apparent decisions made by human beings on the basis of desire. We're talking about high beings determining their direction, which will last for, in some cases, I suppose, trillions upon trillions of years. The decisions will last for trillions upon trillions of years. I mean, just think about it. 150 some trillion, according to the Brahmanic chronology, still remains before this particular solar system elapses. And many solar systems of Mahamanvantaras separate a master having that revelation from a planetary logos, which, for instance, might become, or he with others might become. Love and intelligence distinguished the masters up to 300 years ago. So this was written, let's say, up to the middle 1600s. Love and intelligence and will distinguish them today. This, again, is another reason for the comprehensive changes made, and it is interesting to note that the bulk of the changes are due to the response of men to the hierarchy, hierarchical work. The hierarchy is a hierarchy of adepts who adapt to the conditions which humanity presents. It is humanity that has forced these events of so far-reaching a nature, you know, we might say, finally catching up. And mankind has also forced revelations which it had been believed could not be given to men for thousands of years or until the sixth root race had come into being. Does he mean, for instance, the beginning of the age of Capricorn, or still later? An instance of the expansion of the information given can be noted in connection with the second path. Nothing is mentioned in my earlier presentation of the seven paths to initiation, the seven paths in initiation, human and solar, of a conditioning constellation. In a treatise on cosmic fire, I mentioned that energy enters through our system from an unknown source via Gemini. And in this latest contribution on the subject, I mentioned that Libra, the balances, is involved. So that may be the constellation. Libra may be the constellation, so to speak, behind Gemini in relation to this path. And there's so much about balancing the astral plane here in connection with Libra and bringing the warring pairs of opposites into some degree of harmony. Thus, there are found on this path of magnetic work two blended influences, those of Gemini and Libra. All right, I think, friends, since I'm a little uncertain about the duration of this program, I will have to bring it to an end. So this is the end of Cosmic Fire webinar commentary number 32A. Yes. And Path of Higher Evolution compilation, page 161. And then we'll go on with number 33, beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentary 33A, Path of Higher Evolution compilation, page 161. Okay, friends, let's see. I think the timing may be just a little off, but I'll do my best with it. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Very good.